Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. And you know what? You are at the right place to get the most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. We're going to help you with all of the challenges that you may be facing owning a home. It can be a little frustrating, but hey, we're going to take that frustration out of it and provide you just the information you need to know. Here are some of the things we're going to be talking about. Caulking. It's a pretty important part of your home, but it's a little frustrating when things start cracking a little bit. Joe, this is a common question we've been getting.
Oh, absolutely. And when you talk about frustration when it comes to maintaining your home, the frustration is often not with the actual work itself, right, Danny? It's often with, like, what's the first step? What do I actually need to do? Where do I get reliable information? Which is why Danny and I love doing the show, because everyone runs to the internet and has lots of good information on the internet, but you don't really know the source. You don't know who's providing that information. You don't know how old it is, first of all. I think some of the frustration can be taken out just by knowing which is the first step to take and which product to use, maybe, or which technique. That's why the simple solutions are popular, and that's why anytime we tell you how to use a particular tool, it's popular. So, yeah, getting rid of that frustration is often the very first step in completing that job.
Hey, another call that we get quite a bit is about smells or odors in the bathroom. No, not that type of odor. We're talking about walking up to brush your teeth and you just smell something coming out of the drain. What can you do? I'm going to introduce you to a brand new product, a very unique product I have never heard about might just help you with that type of situation.
Okay.
I've never heard of anything like this. Also, house making noise. It's funny during this time of the year when you have hot and cold days and quite a fluctuation in temperatures, the house will talk to you. It's kind of eerie, but we actually had some a homeowner that we're going to talk with about this that actually sent videos in of her house talking to her. I'm not sure that's awfully creepy right there, Joe.
Yeah, it was a little scary. It reminded me of seeing The Exorcist or some movie like that where you don't know what is going on in the house. And I'm interested. I can't wait to talk to this homeowner because I'm not exactly sure what we're even going to tell her. But the house was making noises and she was just standing there. It's not like she was, running around or, rolling a big heavy suitcase. It was just making noises.
I know it. Very, very odd. Also, of course, we're going to share with you a little bit later in the hour a simple solution. Joe, give us just a little tease.
Okay, it has to do with the way to clamp things together, to hold them perfectly square when you're assembling, any kind of box. It could be a cabinet, a drawer, and anything you're building that you're forming two pieces of wood together at a perfectly square corner. Like, how do you hold it together so you can nail it and screw it and do all those good things? So I have a pretty simple solution coming up on how to do that.
Well, there's a lot of ways that you're using that very scenario, so Joe's got a solution for that. Hey, Joe, I want to share with you a quick email that came in. This came in from Gary from Columbus, Ohio. Very nice email. It says, many thanks to you and Joe for the advice you gave me a few weeks ago back on the separation in my kitchen between my granite countertop and the backsplash that's made of tile. It was easy enough to get the old grout removed with the ways that you suggested, and I filled the gap with black silicone caulk. Big improvement. Thanks so much. So that was, again, one of those caulking situations. You remember Gary's call on that, and having those, different type of materials together, or really, even if you have ceramic, hitting ceramic in the corners, many times, if you have, like a backsplash that's on the wall, and then you have the countertop, things move a little bit. There's always expansion and contraction. It's quite the phenomenon in a home, and that was all you need. Just a little bit of flexible caulk. So, Gary, I'm so glad we could help you out on that.
Yeah, thanks for getting back in touch with us, Gary. We love hearing back from listeners, by the way. If we give you some advice, whether it works or doesn't, get in touch with us. If it works, give me a call. If it doesn't, give Danny a call. But, the area where that's most often a problem, where you have grout instead of caulk, is it along the top of a tub. Because there's so much flex in the tub. You fill it with water. It's hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Someone's standing in the tub, moving in the tub, and the framing move up and down. And the top of that tub should be caulk, not grout, where it meets the tile.
Exactly. Hey, you know, it's not, you know, in different parts of the country, you know, people are already starting to think about spring. And apparently my wife thinks spring is already here because, Joe, she has bought plants for the yard. She bought soil conditioner. She's bought bags of manure. She's bought vegetables, gigantic vegetables. I got a fruit tree out there. You know, by the way, these don't come installed, you know. I'm unloaded and I'm unloading them. Everyone I'm unloading thinking, oh, wow, somebody's going to have to install these things, you know. And we, our timing's off because if we had done this a week earlier, you would have been here. And I know you love to plant plants, you know.
Oh, nothing I like more than digging holes in the ground. Yeah, that's the one thing. I'm really, well, I can come back down. Yeah, but you're in South Alabama, so you have a chance of getting these in the ground. I'm in Connecticut. It's going to be months before I can even, first of all, we're still got 6 or 8 inches of snow on the ground. So it's going to be a while, even though it's early March.
But we still probably talk a little bit about some of the things you can do right now, even if you have snow on the ground, to get ready for a fantastic spring, because we're all looking forward to better weather, and it should be just great. I'll tell you one thing you can do once the snow subsides, or I would even guess you could rake back some of that snow and get...
Rake back the snow. Now, there's a guy who does not live in New England. He wants to rake the snow.
Well,
okay. You don't want to use your blow dryer and just blow the snow off the lawn?
Kick it with your boot. Just kick it over enough.
Okay. I'm going to rake the snow. Right.
That you can get a soil sample. Right now is a great time to sample, whether you're talking about raised beds, whether you're talking about, you know, planning on enhancing your yard this year, any of that. Right now is a great time because, you know, it takes just a little bit. You know, Chelsea's renovating her house, including the yard, and she's taking soil tests. And actually, it's an online thing called soilkit.com. And very simple thing that you can get the little kit, follow the directions, and taking 4 different samples from 4 different parts of the yard. And I did this a while back, and I got back the most comprehensive, simple-to-read thing that told me exactly what I needed to do. And what's surprising is the different areas of the yard needed different attention.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that would be the case, right?
I know. And also, you automatically, you know, almost everybody in my, you know, part of the country has a lot of problems with a low pH. So you're wanting to add the agricultural lime, which is a very inexpensive, easy thing to do. But and actually, I had a landscape architect looking at everything here, and he, without a soil test, said I would need 6,000 pounds. Of
6,000. Is that for the whole neighborhood? Or is that just for you?
That's what I was wondering. This part of the whole county. And but when I did the soil test, listen to this. When I did the soil test, I only needed 7 pounds.
Not 6,000.
Not 6,000 pounds. Because
maybe he owns one of those crop dusters.
maybe so.
Wow.
So it just goes to show you can use a little of that science without it being complicated to tell exactly what you need. Now, another thing, one part of the yard, I knew I was going to be planting fruit trees.
Right.
So fruit trees need a different pH and soil makeup than I'm having for my grass that I'm planting over here, my sod.
Okay.
And so it was made me feel so intelligent at that particular moment. And to be able to really, and like I said, I put that 8 pounds in this one area and tilled it up, and then everything is growing great. So it really is a good time to do that. Then you can, that way you can do your planning, and it's not a big rush of Friday afternoon. Hey, I want to do something in my yard. I'm going to run out and grab a bunch of things, not knowing if they're the type of plant that you need in terms of, you know, the sun and the moisture and things like that. So it's a great time to do a little science experiment right now.
Yeah, and we were talking about ending frustration in projects. And there's a perfect example. To go through all of that, you know, do your own testing, figuring out what you might need to put in or not put in. You do all that, and then you wait a few weeks or a couple of months, and nothing happens.
Right.
And then what?
Right.
It's like, well, why did I do all of that? You know, but if you get this test that when you're talking about where they not only analyze the 4 different areas of the lawn, they tell you what you need to do in each area of the lawn, and they can customize it if you're planting fruit trees or whatever, that might end the frustration right there. And
That's
how rewarding is it to see your trees grow? Let me know when that fruit comes in, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. It did very, very well this year. Expect the same next year. Again, that's soilkit.com if you want to get that particular one. Also found something odd this week, Joe, back in the tool room, Bear.
Oh, yeah?
If you watch our television show, and hope you do, you see Bear on there quite a bit. Bear helps us out a lot behind the scenes. Found a big leak in the tool room.
What?
We had all kinds of water in there. So I said, well, check it out on the roof. Went up on our office building and everything. Found a small hole. He says, I think it's
in your brand new roof.
No, this is at the office.
And at the office.
He said, I think it's a bullet, and that apparently somebody shot up in the air. You know, people do this. I never understood why. And it's got to come down somewhere. It came down through my metal roof.
Wow.
Caused this small leak. And then when we were organizing it a few weeks ago, we actually found the bullet laying up on the top shelf. So
thank goodness nobody was hurt.
Isn't that the truth? Hey, I wanted to remind you that Chelsea and I will be live for an entire hour on the Today's Homeowner Facebook page, Thursday night, March 11th at 7 o'clock Central. Hey, join us as we answer any of your home improvement questions or anything that you would like to ask us about the Today's Homeowner TV or radio show. We'll be right back.
For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Boy, Joe and I enjoy being with you each and every week, and it's just always amazing when we think about all the hundreds of radio stations that's broadcasting the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We certainly appreciate each and every one of them, and here's a special one, WIOS AM 1480 in Tawas City, Michigan.
Tawas City Den is located in East Central Michigan, right on the shores of Lake Huron. It was founded in 1854 with the lumber industry, the nearby lumber industry. And it's also on a bay, on Tawas Bay, which opens up onto Lake Huron. And to this day, it serves as a refuge used by large freighters that escape severe storms. So these Great Lakes are pretty big, and they actually have storms almost like you'd have in the middle of the ocean. So these freighters come into Tawas City to seek shelter. And Lake Huron has the largest shoreline length of any of the five Great Lakes. I don't think it's the largest lake, but it has the largest shoreline length, and it has 30,000 islands.
Whoa.
Is that unbelievable? That one lake has 30,000 islands.
How about that?
That's just hard to imagine. Must be beautiful boating around there. Though.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And of course, the fishing may be even good with that many
I suspect places. The fishing's pretty good there.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I go up to Maine pretty often because it's not that far from my home in Connecticut, and they have a lot of islands, but not anywhere near 30,000. I just can't even imagine what that must look like.
Yeah, you know, every now and then, you know, you get away from, the other day I was I'm planning a trip to Yellowstone and Grand Tetons.
Yes.
And I just wanted a Rand McNally map. And,
yeah.
Of course, with me moving, I'm still searching around trying to find my
It's easier
maps,
to just buy one.
But Sharon went out and bought a brand new one, because the one I have is probably 35 years old, because marked each and every state, which I got all 50 of them marked, but it's the actual one I carried with me all over, and you can imagine it looks like it's been, you know, drugged behind my truck for a few miles. It's pretty beat up, but it's got all these little marks of all of the little states, but I suspect things have not changed drastically in there. But Sharon bought me a new one. I said, but I already have one. She goes, they put in new roads, don't they? But okay. So I got my brand new thing and opened it up and looked at it. It was kind of neat, though. But I want to.
Nothing greater than an old map. I love looking at old maps. I still have some old road maps at Esso from the Esso gas station. Remember before it became Exxon, they're Esso. I think they still have Esso gas stations like in Canada, maybe, or someplace.
Yeah, there's still some around. So, hey, let's go right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. And I would encourage you to give us a call at any time, 800-946-4420, just like Carol did from Wisconsin. Carol, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Tell us about this. You're having a little challenge with some caulking and so forth. We get a lot of calls about that, and it is a common problem, but what's happening around your house?
Well, we built a new home, and where the wall trim is, we use the white wall trim and put caulking in there, and it's starting to crack. And also, we did some porcelain tile on the walls and floor in the bathroom, and that grout between the wall and the floor is also cracking. I do realize with the new house, they do settle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, how are we going to correct this messy problem?
Okay. All right. First of all, on those boards that you're talking about now, that's your baseboards that's running around throughout your house?
Yeah, between the wall and the floor.
Okay. And so the crack that you're seeing is just on the top of that?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you know, during this time of the year, more than any other time of the year, there's a lot of expansion and contraction, you know, and of course, there's a lot of contracting when it's cold, and you might have cold air inside the walls. This kind of thing will make it move a little bit. But what I have found a good bit, Carol, is on baseboards, if the trim carpenter is not paying attention and that the nails that are driving in, if they're just simply going in the drywall, which unfortunately is the case quite a bit, it will actually pull away from the wall a little bit and won't stay snug. So that's one of the things that you may be faced with, is having to go back wherever you see some of these areas and use a stud sensor to find exactly where the studs is and add additional finish nails at the top of that baseboard to snug it up a little bit. Now, you can re-caulk it, but so often when the warmer months come in, you'll be amazed at how those cracks will completely close up. That happens more often on crown molding than any other type of molding, but that can be the case a lot of times on the base molding, needing to just snug that up a little bit more with some nails. Then you can just recess the nails and put a little putty over those. You can always re-caulk it, and if you are the baseboards white in color?
Yes, they're white.
Okay, so you could use a good quality white acrylic latex caulk and just put a thin, thin bead right on the top of the baseboard, and that would cover the crack and really solve the problem, because the acrylic latex caulk will stay flexible, so that if there is a little bit of movement later, then that should take care of that part of it.
So I don't have to remove the old caulk that's there.
No, if there's any of it that appears to be holding it away from the wall, you might have to pull a little bit of it away, but just kind of push it with your hands a little bit and see if there's if it will attach to the wall, if it'll snug up tight to the wall, then that's not a problem. But if you see the caulk is holding it out, yeah, you'll have to reach in there with a putty knife and try to slice that caulk out of there.
Okay. How about the grout situation in our bathroom? Would that be the same thing?
It's similar, but Joe's a absolute ceramic tile porcelain expert. What do you think on that, Joe?
Yeah, Carol, we were just talking about this earlier. They often put grout at the bottom of the tile wall where it meets the tub or a floor or a sink or anything else, and that really should be caulked because you have two dissimilar surfaces meeting, right? You have ceramic tile on the wall, then you have a tub or flooring or molding or whatever, wood molding, and so that really should be caulk.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps it is caulk. I just assumed it wasn't.
Okay, well, I would check that. And if it is caulk, same as what Danny was mentioning with the baseboard, you can fill it. I don't think you'd have to remove it either. I think you can fill in the cracks. But since this is a new house, I'm not sure I would do anything until you went at least a full year, maybe more, of going through a heating and cooling cycle a couple of times, because this house is going to dry out. You have all that lumber is drying out. You have some settling going on. So, you know, unfortunately, you might have to wait this out until everything's good and dry and then fill in those joints, and hopefully it won't be an issue next year.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, our pleasure, and thanks so much for being with us today. You have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All righty. Hey, we're going to get right to some emails right now, and you can send us an email anytime at todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what Larry did from Florida. Hi, Danny. I heard you were talking about building a new fence. I'm about to install posts for a 6-foot-tall privacy fence. It'll run about 100 feet, then turn, extend another 40 feet or so. Should I make the posts from 4x4s or 6x6s, and do I need to put concrete in every post? You know, I'm glad you wrote this email in, Larry, because a lot of people are trying to put up fences or repairing fences and so forth. And my recommendation would be 4x4s are perfectly fine. I would not exceed an 8-foot span while you're building the wood fence. 6x6s, of course, are even better and are kind of nice, whereas 4x4s almost blend into the fence. 6x6s make a more kind of a statement when you use those. Now, on my fence, I used 6x6s because my fence is about 7.5 foot tall, so I felt like I needed that for support, as well as I just like that look of defining those panels like that. Concrete, absolutely. I live in a hurricane-prone area, and even with some mild winds, I see fencing just falling down everywhere. I often am asked to look at some of the fencing. I look at it. There's very little, if any, concrete in there, so I would suggest on most fencing is to put about a 50-pound bag per post. You'll be glad you did when you have some storms and you look around, your neighbor's fence are laying on the ground, and you still have the privacy that you provided that fence for. So, yes, it's absolutely worthwhile. But again, that 8-foot span is important. Some people like to go up to 10-foot. I would stay with 8-foot, and best of luck on that, Larry. Again, if you'd like to send us an email, we welcome them all the time. Today's homeowner.com/ask. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about this very unique product. I've never heard of this before. It's called a drain strip that you can drop it in your drain, and it'll make it smell a lot better and keep it a lot cleaner. That's pretty intriguing. I'm interested in sharing this with you here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tite Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for the Home Depot Product of the Week. How doers get more done. One of the best things that we love about our kitchen is the great smells that will fill the room when something really good is cooking. Like frying bacon smells really good on Sunday mornings, but the grease it leaves in the kitchen sink doesn't smell so good later in the week. That's why Green Gobbler has created their lemon-scented BioFlow drain strips. You simply insert one of these strips into the P-trap of the sink, and it slowly releases a powerful blend of enzymes to digest and liquefy food, grease, soap scum, sludge, and other organic matter that tends to clog up the drain lines. The result is a clean, deodorized drain that works a lot more efficiently, and the strips are safe to use on all sinks, tubs, and shower drains. Plus, they're beneficial for septic tanks. So for more information on these Green Gobbler Lemon Scent BioFlow Drain Strips, log on to HomeDepot.com. That's interesting, Joe.
Yeah.
I guess you just take the strainer off or take whatever. You just drop one down in there. I'm gonna buy some of these and check them out. It seems like it's not just to mask the smell,
right?
It appears,
yep.
But also helps to liquefy everything that's creating the smell. It's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah. I wonder, can you just drop them down the drain, and do they? What prevents them from just getting washed right through the trap?
Yeah,
not sure.
Yeah, I know it. We're going to have to do a little, do some personal testing on that one.
That
sounds pretty interesting. Hey, let's go right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Again, I'll remind you that you can join us anytime at 800-946-4420. Connie is online right now. And welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, Connie.
Thank you.
Now, Connie, Halloween is long past, but it sounds like you're still experiencing a bit of a haunted house around there. Tell us about this, because we have gotten a few calls recently about something similar. So this is very interesting. Tell us about it.
Okay, and it is creepy and scary. So after a recent cold blast that we had in our area, I started hearing popping and cracking noises that were incredibly loud, and it sounded like it was coming from underneath the floor. And it also kind of sounded like there was something falling within the wall. And then after the noises, I would walk across the tile, and it would crunch loudly. And then it would stop. After a couple hours, you could walk on the tile, and it would feel normal again. So naturally, when I told my family about it, they thought I was crazy. And it happened a second time, and I managed to catch it on video on my phone. And I have no clue what's going on. Now the tile is crunching a little bit, but it also sounds a little hollow under some of the tile.
Okay. Yeah, I tell you, I have seen this, and I did see the videos, which were a pretty big example of that. I'm not sure I've ever heard it quite that loud. Wow. And I've heard people talk about that they were sitting, you know, maybe in one room, and it sounded almost like someone was shooting a .22 rifle, that sharp sound of things moving like that. And we talk about it all the time, the, you know, unbelievable conditions of homes, how they expand and contract so much. And certainly that's what's happening here. And a lot of times, you know, when you have ceramic tile, some of it that you can butt very, very closely with very small grout lines. Others, they recommend by the manufacturer to have larger grout lines. So I think that plays into it a little bit. But now the house is on a slab, I understand?
Yes, it is on a slab.
Okay, so you have a slab, so there's no crawl space underneath, so all of that movement has to be taking place under the flooring and basically within the concrete. Joe, what do you think about this? Let's see, put on your Ghostbuster hat
right
here, and what do you think? I mean, it just has to be expansion and contraction, and of course the question would be there as well: is there going to be lasting damage as a result of it?
Yeah, Connie, I listened to those videos. I watched them, and I was listening to them, and I had never heard anything like it. It's not just a simple little pop here and there or a creak. It was like, as you know, I mean, it was like several seconds of loud crunching. And you weren't, at that point, I don't even think you were walking on the floor. So I'm not even sure what to tell you. Now, you said this, first of all, what kind of heat do you have in this house? It's not radiant floor heat, is it? Or do you have, like, forced hot air or something like that?
No, we just have a AC unit. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
okay.
No, there's nothing underneath the floor.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, there's something under the floor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of noise.
Something under the floor looking to get out. Yeah, looking to get out of your floor. And you said it happened after a recent cold blast. How long have you lived in this house, by the way?
Okay, so the house was built in 1999. We purchased the house in 2003, and the tile was laid. I think it's the original floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been there a while, and this has not been an issue till very recently when you had that cold blast.
That's correct. It happened right after the cold blast, and then I went for about a week and didn't hear it again. And then the second time it happened, it wasn't really that cold outside. It was like probably in the 40s the second time it happened.
And the tiles themselves on the floor are adhered. They're not like loose or popping up or anything like that, right?
They're not cracked. The grout is in good condition, and they look normal.
Connie, I'd like to even offer a guess at what this could be, and I have no idea. I'm sorry to say. I have no idea. I hope it just goes away with the warmer weather, but that doesn't explain what happened. And as Danny said, has it caused any damage? I mean, that I'm not sure of either.
Well the situation with another homeowner several years ago that had this situation, we checked back with them on another project that we were doing, and they said it just finally stopped. That it just seemed to get worse, and then it finally stopped. And I said, well, did you find any cracked grout or anything loose? They said, no, the floor looks perfectly fine. So it's like Joe says, first of all, I don't think it'll get any worse. It is creepy, and I don't think you'll really be able to do anything to correct it. But this is one thing that we would love to do a little more research for you, and we'll keep your contact information. And if you don't mind, we're going to post those two videos on our website, because I know many of our listeners listeners would be intrigued to hear and see this. And we're going to plan on doing that to be able to see. But I don't think you have a problem. I know it's creepy, but I don't think it's going to get any worse. And hopefully it'll get a lot better for you.
Well, thank you. So we're going to go with the old Southern way of don't fix it if it ain't broke. Is that correct?
There you go. I think that's what the answer is. Exactly. So,
okay.
Well, sorry we couldn't give you a fix for that, Connie, but thanks so much for being with us on the show.
All right. Thank you for having me. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Sometimes that happens. It's just one that you scratch your head, you try to figure out, and as Joe and I always say, we'll do a little more research, and if we can find anything else, we'll share it with you very soon here on today's Homeowner Radio.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Ready to make your slippery surfaces safer indoors and out? Deitch Coatings now brings you TrackSafe Anti-Slip Sealer, and I think it's a winner. TrackSafe is a tough, pre-mixed clear coat you can roll onto slippery concrete, stone, tile, linoleum, and painted surfaces. It brings added beauty and foot traction to steps, wet pool decks and walkways, garage and interior floors, and more. Get a grip with slip-resistant TrackSafe. Order today online through the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at CheckNewAChelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by CheckNewAChelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at CheckNewAChelsea.
Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit DuckBrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We want to remind you about the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. And you can send us emails anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Also, remember the Today's Homeowner Facebook page is a great place for you to drop by and pick up some more information to be able to help you maintain and improve your home all year long. Right now, we're going to head to Florida, and we have Dave on the line. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hello, great to speak with you today from Florida's beautiful Space Coast.
Good. Well, I know a lot of people right now in different parts of the country would love to be hanging out with you in Florida with some of the bad weather in other parts of the country, but I understand that you have an inside project and one that Joe and I have worked on quite a bit. Tell us all about it.
Well, what I have is a soap dish in the master bath that had gotten busted and it's porcelain, and it covers about six tiles. And I tried scoring it with a utility knife, seeing if I could get it loose, and that didn't seem to get much traction. What I'm wanting to do is not make a bad situation worse. So I'm wondering the best way to remove that and then put in a new soap dish.
Okay. All right. Well, I saw the pictures that you sent, and this is something that we've dealt with quite a bit. Of course, usually when we have a broken soap dish, we're in the process of tearing all of the tile off. And but you, in lieu of that, there is a technique to be able to remove just that soap dish without, you know, or at least a good chance of not damaging the tiles around the perimeter of it. Now, let me ask you this. Are you going to glue back in another one just like it?
I would think that would be the smart move, just because, you know, normally there's that little kind of a sketch of where it's at. So I would like to try to find the same, or if I need to go a little bit oversized, just so I don't have that ugly scar from the old one.
Yeah, no, you can find the exact same thing and glue it right back in there. But to get this one out, just like if you were replacing a damaged tile on the floor, you start in the middle. So if you get, I would get a couple really good masonry drill bits. And then the reason I say a couple, because in my experience, it seems like the first one never lasts very long. And drill a series of holes right in the middle of that soap dish. Take your cold chisel. Make sure you get a small cold chisel that's designed for masonry work. And then just chip out that center part of it. I mean, maybe something about as big as a 50-cent piece type of thing. And then just chip that out. And that will allow you to work to from the center to the outside. Now, I would also try to score whatever you can. You mentioned that you already have done that to a degree, but around the outside of that where the grout is, the razor knife won't make much of an indentation, but will help. And even taking a brand new cold chisel and just raking it around the perimeter to more or less score that grout so that it hopefully will not affect the adjacent tiles. Then very carefully, very slowly, start prying that out, you know, and the more cracks in the soap dish, the better, and the more holes that you have in there, the better to create those cracks, and then just slowly work that out of there, and you should be able to then, using your cold chisel, clean it up enough so that the new one can be attached in there.
So when I drill, I just want to barely get into the surface that's behind it.
Yes,
in those tiles, I don't want to go too far. Okay,
it wouldn't really matter, even if you went in, you know, more than that. You know, if you hit a stud or you hit it, the wall cavity, no big deal on that. So you can go in as much as you want. But a series of holes all the way around that will just allow you to pull that ceramic that's on the back of, you know, the center part of the soap dish out, and then you can just work away from there.
Okay, and then mortar in those holes when I do the rest of it. Would a Dremel with a blade help at all for scoring that?
Yeah, now, absolutely, and there's so many bits that are available with the Dremel tool. And Joe, that's one of the things that you recommend is to, if possible, to use one of the Dremels with the right attachment on it. Boy, you can make a lot of progress with that.
Yeah, Dave, a Dremel tool or an oscillating multi-tool with a carbide. They actually make a carbide grit blade specifically for removing grout, which is what you're probably going to be doing around the perimeter of that. But if you get the center chopped out, you can then work on the pieces, the rest of it. But by the way, you have to absolutely wear thick leather gloves because these are sharp, sharp pieces.
Yeah.
And eye goggles, like wraparound eye goggles or even a face shield, because this is no joke when you start hammering on this stuff. And what I would recommend, once you get it out and try, and the key is once you get a little opening, chisel at a pretty sharp angle. You don't want to damage the wall behind it. We don't know if it's drywall or it's backer board. Either way, you don't want to ruin it. But then once it's out, you can mortar another one in place or remove the tiles around there, put in all new tiles, and then mount something up high in the corner. They have surface mount ones you just glue right in place, screw right in place, and this up above where the shower is. This way you don't have to worry about this problem again.
Right. Well, and that was one of the things I was going to mention. If anybody is doing a bathroom remodel, the last time we had this one done, which was quite some time ago, we put a second soap dish up in the far corner about elbow high. And,
right.
You know, most of you shower rather than bathe, and it keeps the soaps come down and you're not bending over. So
that's exactly right, Dave. I stopped putting in those the type of soap holder you have down close to the tile. I stopped putting those in years ago because they just collect water and they break off too easily.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, and the bar of soap is always soft. Well, when you guys are down here, if you ever come down in the space, go stop by and we'll go eat some fresh Florida seafood, and hey, maybe you'll catch a rocket launch. Love to have you as our guest.
I'll be right down.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, and thanks for being a part of the show. That sounds great. Joe, real quick, what about that simple solution coming up? Can you give us a little quick tease?
Yeah, it's how to make clamping blocks for the next time you're building a cabinet or any sort of box.
That sounds great. A lot of ways you can use that simple solution, and that's coming up next right here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now, with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, Titebond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to Titebond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit Titebond.com or see them on Facebook.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Time for the Simple Solution segment, brought to you by my buddy Joe Truini. And each and every week we share one every hour. And so many people respond that, wow, what impeccable timing you had, because I was dealing with that issue recently and now I have the solution. Joe, that's probably going to happen this week as well. What do you have for us?
I hope so. If you're building a plywood box or a wooden box of any sort, maybe a cabinet or a drawer or something like that, you know it's important that the two pieces meet at exactly 90 degrees. But how do you hold them at 90 degrees while you're assembling it? Well, here's one way. You can make plywood clamping blocks. And the trick is to cut, these are like triangular shaped pieces of plywood. By the way, it's a little hard to explain this, but if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions, you'll see a video that I shot of this showing it exactly. What you do is you cut these triangular pieces out, and the corners are the factory corners of the plywood. So you get a brand new sheet of 3/4 inch plywood and you lop off the corners. You usually only need two of these. And those corners are at 90 degrees. And that's what you use to hold them together. But how do you clamp those? It's a triangular piece. Well, what you do is you drill some 1 1/4 inch or 1 1/2 inch diameter holes with a hole saw or a spade bit, drill through, and that just gives you some place to clamp. This way the jaws of the clamp can clamp on the workpiece and they go through the hole, and you have two holes, one on each side of this triangular piece. So that's it. And it holds the piece exactly where you need it in an exactly right angle, which is 90 degrees.
Well, there's so many situations where, you know, whether it's a piece of furniture or whether you're building something with the kids or whatever, that you could certainly use that tip. And again, as Joe mentioned, you can go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions to see a video version of that very simple solution and over 500 other ones that are waiting on you right there. Very, very popular part of our website.
And Danny, I wanted to mention these clamping blocks are also great if you're assembling furniture. If you buy those knockdown pieces like from IKEA or something like that. You know, you have to hold them perfectly square to get those cam locking fittings to come together. So they're really handy for that too if you're assembling any kind of furniture or cabinet.
Oh, that's great. And that's one of the real blessings in my life, that my wife, for some crazy reason, loves to put together things like that. So
really?
That agony that you might face on, say, Christmas Eve when you're putting together everything, she just loves to put them together. And all I have to do is come back and torque them down like that. You know, we all, I mean, when you're faced with something like that, it's so easy to install, you know, and you open it up and, you know, there's 75 different pieces and you're grouping them together and then you're looking at the instructions. Let me ask you this. Why are instructions so bad? I mean, you know, it's if you put it together and you write down what you did, wouldn't that be a good step-by-step instruction? Someone missed that information.
Yeah, they used to write them out. And then they had to write them in three languages, and they said, well, we're not going to write them in three languages, so we're going to have universal symbols and illustrations, which I cannot make heads or tails of. I have no idea what that picture of. The show's, I guess it's supposed to be a screwdriver. I've never seen a screwdriver like that. Maybe it's a Fisher-Price screwdriver. I have no idea what it is. But those they're getting pretty tough. But if you do them often enough, like your wife Sharon probably has assembled enough of these pieces that, you know, you kind of learn how they come together and you understand how the hardware works.
It's also a lot to do with how you're wired. You know, some people really are mechanical, and she can handle that very, very well. Well, that pretty much wraps up this hour of Today's Homeowner. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, head to todayshomeowner.com so that you don't miss a thing. And remember, our very popular podcast, todayshomeowner.com/podcast, or wherever you download your podcast. I'm Danny Lippert, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.